So, is God cool with you going to a Beyonce concert?
Season with salt, with salt. Season with salt, with salt.
What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. Y'all, okay. First of all, welcome to the Season with Salt podcast. My name is Dominique. I am your host. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, do me a favor, rate this podcast, leave me a review. Do that on any platform that you're listening. Check out my website, seasonwithsaltpodcast.com, all that good stuff. So, the last few days I have been contemplating, like, whether I should make podcast episodes about things that are going on in popular culture. And the more that I've contemplated, like, the more that the issues have become overwhelmingly relevant in popular culture. And I'm not really like a clout chaser or somebody that's trying to get like listens by, you know, making things more about popular culture. Like, this podcast is about Jesus the Christ, 1000%. This podcast, let me say that again, is about Jesus the Christ. It is called Season with Salt because when the Lord gave me this podcast in 2018, he told me, I want you to talk about things that are relevant to society, but I want you to talk about it from the vantage point of a believer. And I was like, okay, Lord. And so sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'll be waiting for something to happen. And God is like, no, things are happening that need to be addressed. Like, I've called you to this nation, I've called you to this generation, like, I want you to get to talking. So here I am. This is in obedience to God, and I want you to know before I even get started. So, okay, is God cool with you going to a Beyonce concert? I'm not here to give you a yes or no. I'm here to give you some perspective that God dropped in my spirit. But let me give you some background information. I want to play a clip. So, a couple of years ago, a prophetess by the name of Tiffany Montgomery, you might be familiar with her. I think she is the founder of the Millions Conference. I think she originally got saved. Well, she got saved. Her testimony is that she got saved in the shower, but I believe that a part of her testimony centered around the Matthew Stevenson ministry. Listen, y'all, if I'm wrong, like, do not go off on me, because I know that people don't play about certain people, and I don't want to be wrong about the prophetess, okay? Now, since then, she has grown to be a social media influencer. She really takes serious using the marketplace as an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. She is regularly under scrutiny by people for a variety of different reasons, much of which I will not review because it's not what this podcast is about. But I want to play you a clip that is circulating the internet. It is from a presentation, I don't know what to call it, because she's not a pastor or anything like that. She's just somebody who carries God's word or operates in the prophetic. I want to share a clip of her talking about Beyonce and concerts. And let me preface this by saying that since then, particularly because Beyonce is on this world tour, people have taken the audio from this clip. Hear me. People have taken the audio from this person who identifies as a prophet and have used it to chronicle their experience at Beyonce concerts. Now, this is very dangerous, right? Because this person operates, according to her, in the prophetic. And she released a prophetic word concerning the participation. I don't know if it was a prophetic word or not. Let me just play it.
About any of you who are going to Beyonce's concert, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. How dare you call yourself a Christian? I don't care what pastor you got that is okay with it. I don't care what pastor you got that think it's cool. I don't care what pastor you got that's singing along to that song, because they want some clout. Why you think that man call himself Jehovah? It was short for Jehovah. When a witch has a coven, it's normally a small thing. Witches' covens are normally 3 to 7 people. When it becomes thousands, it's called a hive. Y'all are part of that lady beehive? And you call yourself a Christian? May the dealings of the Lord come upon you. You think this is small stuff? You think you not about?
Okay. I told y'all that was going to be wild. Or did I tell y'all that? It was wild. So, okay. People, like I said, so people have taken this audio to chronicle their own experience at Beyonce concerts as a way of saying pretty much, I don't know what this woman is talking about. Like, I mean, people are dressing in silver and they're doing all this stuff and people are talking about it. And of course, like, people are paying like hundreds of dollars for bad views. It's just wild. So, if you go on TikTok, you'll see people talking about their experience at these concerts. And a lot of people are wondering, I better preface this by saying a couple of things. So I don't talk about current events to espouse my own personal view, but I think it's important to share that I would not attend a Beyonce concert. I think it's also important to note that I'm not closed-minded to attending a secular concert. I'm not closed-minded to that. I am closed-minded to attending a Beyonce concert. And I'm going to share with you why. I don't plan to, this very moment, I have no plans to attend any concerts. So, like, I'm not, like, you know. But there are certain artists that I really value their music. They sing about things that, you know, they're songs that I really love. It's a conversation if a certain concert or series of concerts present themselves. I really have to have a conversation with God about, in this season of my life, is this valuable? But let me just start off by sharing with you something that the Lord revealed to me. And I'm not going to get too deep because I know that you've probably seen the topic of this podcast episode and you didn't come for no Bible lesson, but I'm going to give you something that I think will help you understand my perspective and perhaps the alignment between my perspective and the prophetess Tiffany Montgomery's. I'm reading in the Bible about Solomon. Solomon in the Bible is David's son. We know David to be the king. He's the one that, like, God chose to be the successor of Saul. He, like, took care of Goliath, that David, right? Saul, a man after God's own heart, or David, rather, a man after God's own heart, according to the word. He had a son named Solomon. Solomon was one of the wisest to ever live. But the Bible says something interesting about Solomon. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I want to know where that is in the Bible, like, just hit me up because I'm flowing right now. But the Bible says something interesting about Solomon. It says that Solomon really, really, really loved women. He had a deep affinity for women. He loved women. In fact, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So he had 1,000 women attached to him. As a man, he loved women, and he disobeyed God by connecting himself, whether it be through concubines or through marriage, connecting himself with women that God said were off limits. The result of that is that he had 1,000 women, wives and concubines, which equated, according to scripture, to 1,000 influences. So he left, the Bible says that he denied the affirmation of God that his father had because he was influenced by these 1,000 wives. And so what did he do? He built shrines and temples to the gods of his wives because they manipulated him into dishonoring God and being persuaded that he may not have planned to go into these shrines and temples himself. Let me be clear, the scripture doesn't ever say like he was doing idol worship. It says that he built these shrines and temples on behalf of his 1,000 wives and concubines, and it dishonored God, okay? So what I glean from that is that there is a strong power of external influence that the things you surround yourself can have on you. And if you are not careful, you can be wise but manipulated because of the things that you expose yourself to. For David, or rather for Solomon, it was these women because he had an appetite for beautiful women. And he allowed his appetite for beautiful women to draw him into areas that dishonor God. So hold that in your back pocket, because I feel like sometimes we're looking for like this big scripture that says, thou shalt not go to Beyonce concert. And unfortunately, you're not going to get that if you're looking for this like direction from God. If you want God to drop from the sky and say, I told you do not go to see Beyonce, you're probably not going to get that. But there are some biblical principles that I think are important. Now, I'm not judging anybody who goes to a Beyonce concert. If you're going to a Beyonce concert, have a good time. Like, be led by your own convictions, right? Because some people are not convicted by anything, right? And sometimes our conviction is based on our passions, based on what we were saved from, based on the protection of our heart, whatever. So everybody's convictions are not the same. But I would present to you that we have to be careful about what we allow to influence us, because it might be the intent of the, how can I say this? It might not be your intent to dishonor God, but you also have to take into consideration the intent of who you are allowing yourself to be exposed to. So I bring that point about Solomon to the table. Let me bring some other points to the table. By the way, Tiffany Montgomery, I do not own that video. I do not own the audio. I do not own it. So don't tell her that I played her video. But you can, because I'm not, we're not in disagreement, okay? She talked about a coven, or C-O-V-E-N, which is a group or a gathering of witches or that meet regularly. And one of the things that I don't think we talk about as much as we should are witchcraft and divisive spirits that come to manipulate. And here's what I'll tell you to do, because I don't want to get into a long dialogue, but I want to encourage you to consider asking God to reveal to you the spirit of witchcraft. Because if God reveals you, I'm not talking about Beyonce, I'm talking about the spirit of witchcraft. If God reveals to you, if God begins to reveal to you the spirit of witchcraft, Like, you won't need anybody's admonition on who to listen to and who to go to and where to go and when to turn, because he himself will reveal it to you. So let's start there. I don't know what God's position is on you going to see Beyonce. But I do know that 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 17 and 18, tell us to do this. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Contextually, this scripture really references the office of the priest. But it also references the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law, and so all of us have access to him. And it is no longer just the priest's responsibility to separate himself and to live holy and to be a eunuch or whatever. All of us have the responsibility of holy, separated life. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy is to be like God, to pursue a life that is patterned after God's way, God's will, God's pleasure. That's what it means to be holy. So Paul, sent to minister to a diverse church with various levels of understanding, encourages them by telling them, come, pull yourself away from people who influence you in a direction different from where Christ is, okay? Now, all of us, no matter whether we've been drunk or not, know that when you drink or when you are under the influence of anything, even if it's a melatonin pill or whatever, when you are under the influence of anything, that thing that influences you pretty much is what guides your behavior. And I preface that to say that there is a reason why 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, tells us to be sober and to be vigilant. And if you look in scripture about the word sober, it talks about having a clarity of thought. It talks about not being driven by influences outside of your own consciousness. And for Christians, our consciousness is the Holy Spirit, right? Like we die to our flesh so that we can be directed by Christ in our hearts, right? So 1 Peter says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. This is to somebody who desires to be a devout Christian. Every person who is a believer is in a war with the world. The Bible, and I'm going to read one of those scriptures, we're not called to this world. We're not called to be of this world. We are citizens of God's kingdom, but we are on earth, which means that we are in battle with a satanic realm, and we are always in battle. There's no breaks. There's no timeouts. There's no concession. Like, we're always in war with Satan. So First Peter says, always be sober. You cannot afford not to be sober. In other words, you cannot afford to be influenced by things external to Christ. You need to be vigilant. You need to be focused. You need to be directed towards a common goal, which is Christ Jesus. Okay? John 17, 14. The Bible study is almost over, y'all. I know this is not what you came here to listen for, but this is what the Lord told me to say. John 14 and 17 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When you are a believer, you live contrary to the word. And this is not just about whether you should go to a Beyonce concert. This is about whether you should feed into anything that is not in alignment with what God's will is. Well, I don't know what God's will is. Somebody might say, well, I don't know what God's will is. That's our work to find out. That's why we align ourselves with a covering. That's why we align ourselves with Bible-believing ministries. because we are in pursuit of God's will and the execution of God's will in our own lives, through our own behavior, through our mouth, through our ministry, through our gift, so on and so forth. So our relationship with Jesus means that in our pursuit of him, or in our pursuit to be with him, we crucify our flesh, or we get rid of what our own needs and desires are, and we align ourselves with his, and we understand that we are in a constant battle with Satan, and he wants to manipulate us. He wants to manipulate us. He wants to get us off track, and he will use anything that we allow ourselves to be exposed to. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this: do not love the world or anything in it. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. Wait, that's crazy. It sounds like if somebody said that to you and you didn't know it was in the Bible, you'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's a huge assumption. How are you going to tell me that if I love Beyonce, or if I love something outside of God's will, that I can't love God? That's what the word says. Now, I'm saying Beyonce because that's what the podcast episode is about. I don't have any information about Beyonce's spirituality. I don't have any information about what church Beyonce goes to. I don't have any information about whether Beyonce is a Kojic or Baptist or Seventh-day Adventist. I don't have any information about her spiritual background, because that's not valuable. But I tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that we know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And you know what fruit is edible and what fruit is not. I'm going to leave that there. Verse 16, 1 John, second chapter, verse 16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, come not from the Father, but from the world. So here's what verse 17 says. The world and its desires, they pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. That's the test right there. Have I invested in something that will wither away? Have I allowed myself to be exposed to something that will not last? So when I'm positioned to make a decision about whether I'm going to engage or be exposed to something that is secular, something that is outside of the will of God, I have to make the decision. Is this something that's going to wither away? What is more important? What is eternal or what is temporary? Let me say that again. What is important? What is eternal or what is temporary? Now, this is not for somebody living outside of the perimeters of Christianity, because if you're not a Christian, then you shouldn't care about what people think about what you do, right? But there might be people who are young in the faith or warring in the faith and trying to figure out, like, what side of the fence do I fall on? And then a lot of churches are afraid to speak. Listen, you can't hardly say anything about Beyonce without, like, the people who follow her, identified as the Beehive, coming to let you know they don't appreciate it. It's not just her. It's a lot of different people. I think it's easy to talk about Beyonce because she has such a presence. She's very talented. And I'll say that I have every one of her albums probably up to, I don't know, four. I think I might have dropped off around four. I honor her natural gift, right? She is a gifted person. She is a talented singer. She has songs with meaningfulness and connectivity. She is a positive influence for Black people, Black children, Black women, mothers, and as is her husband, right? So, but you can be all those things and not in alignment with God, right? My mother is not saved, and she is a beautiful person. I would dare not say that she is not. I love her, and I honor her, and I spend time with her. But I'm not going to carry on like she's like a devout Christian. That's not her lifestyle, right? So I have to know the difference. I have to draw the line somewhere. So what would Jesus say if Jesus, I'm going to ask you, Jesus, can I go to the Beyonce concert? I think Jesus is going to have this dialogue with you. Is it temporary? Or is it forever? What do you choose? Should I go to the Beyonce concert, Jesus? I think Jesus is going to ask you, what about that concert is in alignment with my will, my way, my plan, who I've called you to be, who I've called the kingdom of God on earth to be? And it's not just the Beyonce concert that we need to be having this conversation with God about. It's everything that we decide to do, our careers, our lives. Some gospel, quote unquote, gospel music is not gospel music, and it should be treated the same way as secular music, because it engages too much of the world's influences. I should not want to do the same thing when I'm listening to you that an Usher song makes me want to do. And again, I'm not sitting in the space of judgment. I'm talking about my own conviction. I'm talking about what God revealed to me. And I'm talking about the conversation that I think we should be having when we are positioned to think through the decisions that we make when it comes to pop culture. And I have already admitted, I've listened to Beyonce. I've had a lot of her albums. I'm not going to be like, Satan, I'll rebuke you if she comes on the radio. I'm not like so heavenly positioned that I'm no earthly good. Like I got the influence, but I'm not like sacrificing anything to see her in a way that I wouldn't for my father, Jesus Christ. And I think that that's key, right? That's key.
Season with song, with song.